Welcome back to the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talking Entertainment Network. We discuss gardening here. We love gardening. I want to shout out to all the mothers and grandmothers out there and wish them a happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day again, Lizzie, to you.
Oh, happy Mother's Day to you, too.
Thank you for taking care of the board and everything here. We would just not be able to do anything without Lizzie. So the Southeast, 60% of the Southeast is in extreme drought. Okay, there is a tiny sliver on South Florida, just north of Miami, which is only abnormally dry. Not extreme drought, abnormally dry. But we're going to be getting more rain this week, so take advantage of that and make sure that you're not overwatering when we get enough rain. Let's do the dirty word of the day.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And today's dirty word of the day comes from Plant Words, a book of 250 curious words for plant lovers. It's been published by the Royal Botanical Gardens at Kew, and the authors are Emma Wayland and Joe Risholm. And so, family, a taxonomic rank below order and above genus. Plant families group genera that shares common characteristics. Families can therefore be made up of quite a variety of different plants. But many families are still recognizable by distinctive features, particularly in flower form. Families are referred to by names ending typically in ACAE, okay, which comes from the Latin meaning resembling. Examples include Asteraceae, which is the daisy family, Rosaceae, which is the rose family, Araceae, which is the aroid family, and Ericaceae, which is the palm family. So the APG4 system, which I'm going to tell you what it is in just a second, currently recognizes 452 vascular plant families. Well, this number is constantly being updated and debated. APG4 is the fourth iteration of a modern, mostly molecule-based system for classifying flowering plants, which are called angiosperms, which was a former dirty word of the day. So the APG4 is called the Angiosperm Phylogeny Group 4 system, is an internationally developed classification system for flowering plants. It groups angiosperms into orders and families using molecular phylogenetic data supported by morphological and anatomical evidence. So this is a DNA. It groups them through DNA sequencing and genetic methods. So the dirty word of the day is family, and it is a grouping of plants that have significant characteristics together. Sure.
That's very interesting.
Yes. Hmm. So family for Mother's Day. 1-888-455-2967 is our phone number. You can give us a call at the bottom of the half hour. We do have a wonderful person coming on. Her name is Karina Stenalanto Andrews, and she is going to be talking to us about the brand new Encore Azaleas, which I'm very excited about. And the colors are just incredible. So we're going to be coming up with that. If you would like to know more about our garden tours, you can go to artandbloomgardentours.com. And if you'd like to get the newsletter, you can go to www.she-consulting.com, she-consulting.com, and sign up for the free newsletter that will be coming out this week. So Mother's Day, if you're out there, I wish you a happy Mother's Day, grandmothers. You're welcome to call after our interview and give us any gardening memories that you have of your mother and grandmother in the garden. We'd love to hear that. And we would love to just have your memories and just thinking about that. We have this month of May, we get an average of 3.5 inches of rain. we almost got it last night. So we've been getting a little bit of rain this month, and that's good. We're going to be getting more rain next week. You want to make sure that you are keeping up on your watering, your drinking water when you're outside. That's very important. I was out yesterday, and after about 45 minutes an hour, I could feel that I needed to start drinking water, start to get that dizzy.
That's a bad sign.
It is a bad sign. So you want to make sure you're wearing a hat, using sunscreen, and drinking water, too, as well. Also, too, the number 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. So now, Lizzie, you talked a little bit about what you're doing in your garden, but what are you doing? You just bought some beautiful roses.
Some knockout roses and some drift roses, yes. So I have a whole like area along our one brick wall facing the south. And nothing's ever been there. And so I decided that, you know, I'm going to put those there. I'd already put our poinsettias in and they're growing. Thank you, Jesus. They're actually growing. And but I was like, you know what? I like these flowers, roses. I need another spot to put them. And so, yeah, so the drift roses are like a peach and an orange color.
Ooh,
and
love
some
the peach.
Red. Ugh, you can get me every time with either like a yellow, a peach, or an orange. You got me every time.
They are gorgeous and they're very easy to take care of. So I'm so glad you're doing well on that. That's wonderful. We're going to be back with more of Better Lawns and Gardens this Saturday morning. This is where you are. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. Mother's Day is tomorrow. If you still need a gift or your mom loves flowers, my next guest has some of the most romantic, beautiful flowering shrubs for any landscape or garden. This time of the year, companies announce their new plants. And when I heard of these new varieties, I wanted to have her on right away. Karina Stelitano Andrews helps develop plants for Southern Living Plant Collection. She is a garden expert who translates emerging outdoor living trends into stunning and resilient landscapes. She joins us this morning. Good morning, Karina. How are you?
Good morning. I'm excited to be talking with you.
Thank you so much. You have a wonderful background and a wonderful position at Southern Living. Tell us about yourself.
Oh, yes. I'm really lucky. I live down the Gulf Coast of Alabama, very near Mobile Bay. And I work with Southern Living Plant Collection, which means I get to work with all parts of the industry, but most exciting with new plant breeders. So I get to see all the new plants that are coming out. And then what I do is I talk about those plants so that we can all have success with them.
That is wonderful. I love that. That's so exciting to see new plants come out. So you work with Encore Azaleas, and they have taken the garden world by storm. They just are wonderful, wonderful shrubs. So what makes them such a standout in landscapes?
Well, a lot of us are familiar with azaleas as an iconic landscape plant, something that we've grown up with and trust. But Encore Azaleas were bred in the late 90s to bloom in more than one season. So so they take, traditional varieties and inventor Buddy Lee crossed those with a summer blooming azalea. So you have azaleas that now bloom in the spring, and then they take a break in the heat of the summer, and then they put on more buds and start blooming in the summer into the fall and in a lot of warm climates all the way through to first frost.
That's wonderful. So what kind of zone, what zones do they grow in, and what kind of conditions do they need?
Well, they are... hardy in, you know, in terms of USDA zones to from zone 6A all the way up to 9 and 10. So that's going to be all the way down into Florida, across the southeast and mid-Atlantic, and then up the west coast. They really like, which is different than a traditional azalea. Encore azalea is like full sun for best bloom. So that's going to be like 4 to 6 hours for best blooming. A break from the afternoon sun is really helpful in hotter climates.
Yeah. I'm so thrilled with this, because this gives you more options for azaleas in those partial shade and full sun conditions in the morning. And they thrive. They do so well in my clients' landscapes. They make me look good. So I really do. I really enjoy them. So now they come in stunning colors. I can't believe the colors. Encore Autumn Belle is one of my favorites. So tell us a little bit about the color range that's available.
Well, that's the neat thing. There's, you know, at this point, so Buddy Lee is so prolific as a plant inventor, and so there's more than 35 varieties. So there's a size and a habit and a color for like all of our landscape designs and our home colors. So they come in whites and reds and purples and pinks and bicolors. So you mentioned Autumn Belle, which is one of those bicolor varieties.
Yes.
So that's neat. It kind of gets this kind of designer flair.
It does, and it has more. It has more petals. It's like a double azalea on top, you know, on that color range.
That's what's neat is, you know, because they because there's so much breeding going on. It's you can have double and semi double and single blooms. So there's really an encore azalea that matches what you've grown up with or a neat new look that you haven't seen before. You can tell I'm really excited about them.
I know you are. When I heard about them, I just said I have to call Karina. And so so the size, Formosas can get large, 8 to 10 feet, you know, tall and wide. What size do the encore azaleas get to, and what kind of landscape size can they be used in?
Right. So we divide them into compact and then intermediate sizes. And so you're going to look at those compact varieties to be really good on your home foundation or in containers. And they're going to go anywhere from 3 to 4.5 feet. Really kind of grow in that mound and compact habit. And then we have intermediate varieties that might be work well for hedges or privacy or just a really nice, you know, big shrub, but not like those huge, like you mentioned, the traditional azaleas that you used to have to kind of pull out with a car if you wanted to get rid of them.
That's right. And even then, when you cut them all the way down to the ground, if they've been in the ground for 30 years, which some of them, you know, can grow that long, then you do need a car to get them out to attach it to your bumper. So what kind of maintenance do they need? We're talking about compact and intermediate. What kind of fertilizing and pruning is needed?
Well, so you're going to want to prune them after the spring bloom. If you wait in later, you might take a risk of pruning off the buds that are going to give you that summer and fall bloom. So after they wind down at that first spring blooming phase, you're going to give them a prune. But, you know, I find azaleas, you can go in and just kind of selectively prune for you know, those sprays that you don't, the shape that you want to just control a little. So you don't have to do a hard pruning. You can, if you have one of those azaleas that you've had for a really long time. We have all kinds of instructions on renewal pruning, so you can really cut them back and let them flush out again. And then you're going to feed them in the spring as well. You don't want to feed after August or fertilize after August because you might get some of that fresh new growth that could be hurt by an early winter frost.
That's great to know, because, you know, people don't exactly know when to fertilize. And so you would say in the springtime, early spring, and then another time in the fall?
No, so you're, yes, the spring is exactly right. You want to feed after that spring bloom as well, or in the springtime in general, but you definitely don't want to after August.
After
August.
So you
can go all the way into the summer, and that gives them a nice feeding season, but then you're not pushing new growth when the winter temps can come on. So August is a good line to say I'm not gonna fertilize after August.
Okay, that's really good.
And then the other thing you can do. The other thing you can do to give them a really good head start is mulching. Because Encore azaleas have, azaleas in general have roots that grow close to the surface. So if you give them a nice couple inches of mulch, that helps, you know, give them a little protection from the heat of the sun and holds that moisture in.
Oh, excellent, excellent. So you have announced new Encore varieties. So tell us about what you have introduced this year.
Yes. Autumn Kiss is our newest Encore azalea. And, you know, I talked about all those different colors. And you mentioned your favorite bell, a bicolor. A lot of the bicolor blooms, they kind of have a rich center of color and then, you know, maybe some white pattern around it. Autumn Kiss is a reverse pattern. It's such a neat, unique bloom color that I haven't seen before. And so it has a pink outline around the edge and then white center and then pink again in the center, kind of like a little like a kiss, like lips. Autumn Kiss grows 3 to 4 feet, nice mounding growth habit. And you know, it keeps its leaves all year. Encore azaleas are evergreen. So they're going to, keep green leaves all year, even when they're not in bloom. But we're excited about, this really unique color pattern that I think everybody will find kind of new and exciting.
That's wonderful. Well, your website is so great at showcasing the colors and varieties. So Karina, what website, where would they, go to see these varieties?
EncoreAzalea.com or at your local garden center. You can find them at garden centers all across the Southeast and Mid-Atlantic and West Coast.
That's wonderful. So do you have favorites?
You know, I honestly, whichever one is in bloom, after all these years of working with azaleas, I'm still just stunned by their beauty.
That's wonderful. So where can we find them to buy?
So you can actually buy online at EncoreAzalea.com or at any of your local garden centers.
Yeah, they should ask for it. That's what I'm always telling people is if you want to see some of these great plants, you need to ask them to bring them in, you know, so that they know that you'll buy them. And so what was the website again?
EncoreAzalea.com.
That is wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Karina, for joining me this morning. I have to have you on again and talk about azaleas and some other of the Southern Living. The Southern Living Plant Collection, I have to say, it just thrills me. And when I go in and see all the different varieties of plants, I use them often in my landscape designs, and I just think they're wonderful. Buddy Lee is just a great plant inventor, and he's bringing us a lot of good plants that do well here in Florida, and they are wonderful. So thank you so much, Karina, for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Okay, and so...
I got to say, because I went on to the website.
Yes!
Which is the EncoreAzaleas.com. Okay, my favorite, because, you know, I'm just that person. I love the Autumn Starburst, and I love the Autumn Twist.
Yes!
Beautiful.
Just looking at, do you see how many color varieties there are?
There are so many varieties, and they are all gorgeous. I'm not a pink person, but... Holy cheese and crackers. I'm looking at some of these that are pink, and I'm like,
and they take full sun. That's the amazing thing about it is these are azaleas that can handle full sun. You know, morning of 4 to 6 hours, you know, maybe some afternoon shade if you're down a little bit further south. But these will grow very well here in Florida, and they do well.
Yes.
And and they bloom multiple times.
That's the thing is also if I've always had an area where it's like, okay, forget about putting azaleas there because there's no way. It's all full sun.
Right.
But holy cheese and crackers. This is a game changer.
It is.
Game changer.
And they're very reasonable priced, and they do very well. Now, the issues, pest issues, I haven't seen a lot in my clients' landscapes, and I haven't seen. So I'm very pleased with this variety. So that is a Southern Living Plant Collection. Go onto their website and look at it. And then you can also see EncoreAzaleas.com. Thank you to Karina Andrews for coming on today. I just certainly do appreciate it. We're going to take more of your phone calls right after the break. 1-888-455-2967. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Big thank you to Karina Andrews with Southern Living Plant Collection and Plant Development. So the Encore Azaleas are just gorgeous, so check them out, EncoreAzalea.com. Let's go to our phones. If you'd like to give us a gardening question, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680 like Colette in Winter Haven did. So we're going to be talking right now about that. So let's go to Pinky in Port Orange. Pinky, did you get a lot of rain last night?
Yes. Thank you, God. Yes, we did.
Wonderful. How can I help you?
Okay, I have two unknown varieties, and good to talk to you, Teresa. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Two unknown varieties of roses that I had in the ground last year or last summer, and they just kept getting rust. And so I pulled them out and I put them in pots. They did beautifully through the fall and so forth. One is in a 5-gallon terracotta, one's in a 10-gallon plastic.
Uh-huh.
Well, now they're requiring sometimes watering twice a day.
Yes.
And I'm leaving for a month in June.
Mm-hmm.
I want to put them back in the ground. Can I do it now, or do I have to wait till the fall?
I would wait till the fall, but here's what you can do. Do you have a bathtub or a shower area in your house, bathtub?
Yeah.
Would take them, and what kind? Oh, the plastic pot, the clay pot. If you wanted to put them into like one in each bathroom that you have and just fill it up with water just about, I would say, 6 to 8 inches, they will be fine while you're gone.
Oh,
in the pots.
Wow. Great. Okay.
Okay. So they will fill that bathtub up, but you can leave them and just leave the water in the bathtub about 6 inches,
okay,
and they'll be fine when you're gone. And when you come back, then you can, you know, take care of them and then plant them in the fall.
Oh, perfect. And that bathroom gets bright light. So
wonderful.
That's perfect.
That will be perfect.
Okay, one quick comment.
Sure.
One quick comment. Everybody should have a mulberry tree.
Yes.
My girl has been producing for 3 weeks. I have over 10 pounds of mulberries
in my
freezer.
Oh, my goodness. How wonderful. That is great. Mulberries. Do you get a lot of birds?
Yeah, but there's plenty for them and plenty for me.
Wonderful. Oh, that's great.
My whole backyard is teeming with birds. I have woodpeckers. I have every cardinals. I have the blue jays. I have the hummingbirds. I have everything because my backyard's a jungle.
Oh, that's wonderful. That sounds delightful. Thank you so much for calling, Pinky. Enjoy your trip.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Bill in Orlando. Good morning, Bill. How can I help you?
Good morning, Teresa. Question for your advice on transplanting Italian cypress into a larger pot. What medium should be used?
I would just use a regular organic potting soil. Italian cypress don't need to have really wet soils. They like it to be dry,
right,
on the dry side, like Italy.
How about chips and things like that?
I would put some mulch around the top of it, but you don't need to put chips inside the planter.
Okay. I got another question for you.
Sure.
What is your preference for azalea grass? We replaced ours twice.
Mm-hmm. Why did you replace it twice?
It browned out. It got a fungus, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't stand up. And we do have one area, too, that's quite shaded in the back.
Yep.
So I know there's probably a different variety for that, but your thoughts on the new varieties that I see out there?
Well, I use the emerald and have great success with it, but zoysia should be able to take some shade. So there's probably an issue with your area. So have you had a soil test? A soil test?
No, I have not.
I would get a soil test just to determine it. How often does it get watered?
Once a week.
Okay. And with the fall, with the winter, it's going to go ahead and turn brown anyway. It hasn't greened up yet?
Well, it's gone. You know, we're in the process of replacing it. So that's why we'd like to good suggestions.
Yeah, so I like the emerald, and there's a couple of new varieties out. I can't think of them in my mind, but I'm going to tell you in just a few minutes. I'll go to a break, and I'll look at the one that I'm using on several clients' yards, and I'll let you know. Just hang with me.
I've seen Citrusori is one, I believe, and Palisades is another, and I saw one, 1LF,
yeah,
something like that.
I would say that the Palisades is fine, and it does well here in Central Florida. And there's also the Citra that would be fine too. That's the one that we recommend.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I appreciate you.
Let us know how you do.
Thank you.
Make sure that when you're watering your new lawn, that you're not overwatering it. Okay. So they'll tell you to water it every day for 30 days. Or 60 days in some cases, don't do that. Okay, you want to water it two times a day for the first week, then once a day. I'm sorry, two times a day for the first week, then once every 2 days the second week, once every 3 days the third week, and then by the fourth week you're on that schedule of twice a week watering.
Okay. Let me ask you also, the soil preparation, should there be any amendments done or anything like that?
I don't think so. I think, you know, depending on your soil test, but I think, you know, our grass here in Florida, St. Augustine and Zoysia, do well with the sandy soils. And so do you have any shade trees around? You said you had some shady areas.
Yeah, there's a huge oak in our neighbor's area, and it overreaches, so we get shade in the back.
Well, I will tell you that those oak leaves that have been there coming for years, you probably have really good soil. Anyway, so I wouldn't have to add any organic amendments to it.
Okay.
Just make sure you got good contact. Okay, so make sure they push it down, they roll it for you.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate that. You know, so grass doesn't need to have really, really, I just want to say really organic and lots of material in it. It will thrive in areas that have, you know, just a regular mesic soils that has a little bit of earthworms in it. Full sun is the most important thing, and getting the water to get it established is the second most important thing.
Hmm. Well, that's kind of reassuring.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really have to go out and overboard on the organic amendments unless we've had a soil test that tells you that you need to. And the soil test can be invaluable, that you know what to fertilize with and how to take care of it. So that's the most important thing. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
You're very welcome. I have a little situation here I'd like to ask you about. Hibiscus radicus, I was told it was, could be the October rose, but when I start to look it up, hibiscus radicus.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you have a gardening question, 1-888-455-2967. Just another word to Bill in Orlando about the Zoysia. My preference is emerald, but their new variety, Citrusoi, it's been bred for disease resistance, high disease resistance. So if you've had fungal issues with your Zoysia before, go ahead and check out Citrusoi. So that's a really good question. Thank you so much for asking it. Let's go to Jerry in Citrus County. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Ooh, fine. Thank you, Teresa. How are you?
I am doing good. Thank you so much for calling.
You're very welcome. I have a little situation here I'd like to ask you about. Hibiscus radicus, I was told it was, could be the October rose, but when I started to look it up, hibiscus radicus didn't seem exactly the same as the October rose, but they listed it as the monarch rose mallow.
Mallow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on there. And are there separate varieties of that that look similar? Mine has the dark red or almost purple big flower.
Mm-hmm.
It's an annual, and it produces a lot of seedlings.
Huh.
Also.
Okay.
And it has leaves that some people claim is marijuana. definitely not marijuana because I make tea out of it.
Right.
Flowers.
So
on there.
So. Yeah. Okay, so you want to know what it is? That's the Roselle, R-O-S-E-L-L-E, and it is a burgundy, Roselle, R-O-S-A, Roselle, R-O-S-E-L-L-E.
Oh, it is a Roselle.
It and is a Roselle. Annual? It's not an annual, it's a shrub.
And it has the deep lobe leaves?
No? Yes, yes.
Oh,
and you can make a tea out of it. So, but they're all the hibiscus are in the mallow family. Okay.
Yes.
And so the Roselle is a hibiscus. Okay. So So the Roselle, which is the hibiscus, and I don't know the Latin name for it. I'm sorry. But it's Roselle and it is in the mallow family. And you can call it a hibiscus. Hibiscus is the common name for it.
Okay, and do they both have the green leaves? And Roselle, I think, has some red stem.
Right, it has a red stem, but they can also have burgundy leaves, too, as well, depending on the variety.
Oh, there are varieties of the Roselle?
Yes, you can have a green. You know, there are variations.
That's what's going on.
Yes.
Oh, there's variations of the Roselle.
Right.
Okay. Is there anywhere that they list them, what the variations are or anything?
So let me, I don't know. Let me just hold on just a second and let me look that up, Jerry. Uh-huh. And if you listen, I'll tell you, okay?
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Hold on. Yes.
You straightened me. Yeah. You straightened me out there. Thank you.
Okay. So there are varieties that are green and red, but let me just see for the name. Let's see. And they're also called, they can be substituted for cranberries too as well. So it's a Sabdariffa. And there are different variations of it, but they're not giving me the individual names. So let me just see. They're just giving me the global world names on it. So the varieties, I do not know, but there is a green variety and there is a burgundy variety.
Oh, okay. So that's what I have going on then.
Yes.
And you say it's perennial.
It's a shrub, yeah.
Oh, mine dies back here in the winter.
Well, because it's a tropical plant. So every time it's going to get too cold, especially this year with the low temperatures we had, it will knock it back. But it came back. And they do reseed. So you might have some popping up here and there.
I got one plant gave me about 100 seedlings.
There you go.
It really reproduces, which is what I need to make tea, you know?
Right. The cranberry Roselle tea, yes.
Yeah, do you use the flower or the calyx?
You use the calyx. But you can use the flower. They're both edible.
Yes, yes. They just want the flower's not as strong as the calyx.
Right.
Or something.
Right.
Oh, is the calyx bright red in all the cases?
All cases is bright red.
Oh, okay, good. Now I know what to look for. Thank you, Teresa. You really straightened me out on this one.
You're welcome, Jerry. I love when you call. Yeah. Thank you so much for listening to Better Lawns and Gardens.
You straightened him out. I love Jerry.
He's great. I love Jerry. And so I will tell you, there's so many beautiful flowers and shrubs and vines in bloom right now. Gardenias are in bloom. They look amazing. They smell tremendous. The Confederate jasmine is blooming right now and is just wonderful. The fragrances at night. Night blooming jasmine is blooming right now. So if you love fragrances, there are a number of different flowers and shrubs that you can have in your yard that create fragrance. And even the buddleias smell great when you plant them in your yard. I love buddleias. Tracked butterflies, they are great. And so just so you know, buddleias in some locations up north, some regions of up north, can be considered invasive. But the new varieties that you have on the market that are in the nurseries are sterile. So you're not going to have that issue here. We don't have that issue here with buddleias here, but up north they do. And there are new varieties that will not take it out. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. And we would love to hear from you. We want to wish everyone a happy Mother's Day. And talking about mothers, Colette in Winter Haven said, mothers spread like crazy. And yes, they do. All right. So they do very, very well here. What can you be planting this time of the month? It's really, there are just so many beautiful flowers and shrubs. This is a great month to get planted, to plant in your garden. Butterfly plants, coleuses. Now, the wonderful thing about coleuses, there are varieties that can take full sun, and there are varieties that take shade. And when they start to grow, you can just cut them off and keep them at a set height. And whatever you cut off from a coleus, you can plant in the ground or plant in a pot, and it will root. Okay, you can root it in soil, you can root it in water. And so what I like to do is when they start to go to flower, that's when I cut off about 6 inches to 8 inches and let them put them in soil in a pot and produce more. And that's the way you can get a whole bunch. You never have to buy coleuses again. Because I love all the colors. I love the henna colors. I love the deep burgundy. I love the ones that have the burgundy and chartreuse color together. So they're quite striking, and they do very well in the yard. I visited a yard this week that I was really impressed with, and she has so many orchids hanging in her trees. I mean, she had to have at least 35 orchids to more than that. I stopped counting at around 30. And her orchids doing beautiful, beautiful outdoors. And she has them hanging from all the trees in full sun.
I'm jealous.
Yeah,
I'm jealous.
I was shocked that this was they were in the tree, and the tree had to be cut down because of the winter time. So she still has the trunks and the tree standing there. And her orchids were doing fine in full sun. I was just shocked.
I don't know
how she's doing it.
Good for her.
Yeah. I was surprised.
That is awesome.
So, you know, Mother Nature is always, always impressing me, and that's fine. But gardenias, if your gardenia is turning yellow, there's a couple of different reasons for that. And that turning yellow is called chlorosis, and chlorosis can be caused by overwatering or underwatering. It can be caused by disease or insect issues, but it can also be caused by over-fertilizing or under-fertilizing. And then the other thing is, if your gardenia is not getting enough fertilizer and it's going to produce flowers, it's going to put all its energy into producing flowers, and the leaves may turn chlorotic. You also want to check the pH. Gardenias do very well at 5 to 5.5. And so if you're on the coast, if you're on a beach area, if you get salt spray, your gardenias may not do so well, because, you know, anything over 7, a pH of 7, is going to cause them to decline. So you might want to look for something else that will do well there. You know, 5 to 5.5 pH is what's needed for gardenias. But they do very well here in Florida in full sun or in shade. So you can have a nice hedge of them. I have seen gardenia hedges as tall as 10 foot high and filled with hundreds of flowers, and they don't do anything to them. So that's how important the soil is. If it's good acidic soil there near oak trees, and you've got good organic soil with a lot of organic material in it, leaves and compost, your azalea or your gardenias are going to do very well.
Yeah, nice.
So thank you very much, Lizzie, for being here on Mother's Day.
Oh, thank you.
Weekend.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
And happy Mother's Day to you.
Happy Mother's Day to everyone out there, all of our listeners. We do love hearing from you. We do appreciate it. Big thank you to Corina Andrews with Plant Development Southern Living Plant Collection on corazalias.com. Check them out. You won't believe all the beautiful colors of flowers. And you can order them from your nurseries or online. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.